This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Guys, the Miami Heat stink.
Good take.
That's it. They stink. Roster's cooked. Season's cooked. Crowder, they stink. Officially, they stink.
Season's cooked. Roster's okay. We need some more players, but they're not very good. They're not very good.
Yeah, I don't know. Yesterday was kind of – because, you know, you kind of always tell me that I fall in love with these guys, and I always have on, like, Heat glasses, Heat spectacles when I'm – or bifocals, as you called them yesterday, when you ripped the Pell for wearing glasses like it was 1922, which was very interesting.
That's all I can do.
But yesterday was kind of – I think it was it for me in terms of this roster moving forward. Like, I still think there's talent on the roster – and I still think Tyler Hero is talented. He's an all-star level player. I still think Bam Adebayo is an all-star level player. But Will Manso said something yesterday to us prior to the Knicks game where he said at this point, nobody should be untouchable. Yeah. Nobody should be labeled as untouchable on the Heat roster. And I didn't feel that way until last night. And I agree with that take from Will Manso. I agree with that sentiment. At this point, eight game losing streak at this point of the season, Tyler and Bam as your best players, and you're getting run off the floor three straight games already, having lost 5, 6, 7 straight. Nobody should be untouchable on this Heat team.
A couple of things. Number one, I can't believe the third quarter phenomenon is so consistent with this team. It outscored 41-15 in the third last night. But Solana, I'm curious, like, that's a pretty big picture take that you've settled on, and I'm wondering, like, what the difference is from, like, the 8th straight loss, from the 7th or the 6th straight loss, when all these issues have been the same. Is it just like now you, like, the blinders are off, now you finally seeing clear? Because, like, all the things that you're saying have been true for a long time here.
Yeah, I think it has to do with a couple things. First of all, and I wanted to get into this during 15 minutes of Heat, but whatever, right? Like, they suck. So here's the situation, in my opinion. There's no shame in losing to the Cleveland Cavaliers when you were shorthanded, as the Miami Heat were, on the road in Cleveland. And I know they blew the lead, and it was frustrating as hell. But truthfully, like, the Cavs are maybe the best team in the NBA this season, certainly have the best record. There's no shame in losing to them. The Heat aren't a better team, even if the Cavs are missing a piece or two. I go to the Celtics game. There's no shame in losing to the Boston Celtics, who are the defending champions, even if you hung with them for three quarters. The Heat aren't as talented. Like, Those are realistic expectations. The Heat are not as talented as those two teams. But Appel, after the Jimmy trade, Tyler Hero and Bam Adebayo were supposed to be the leaders of this team moving forward. They were supposed to be the two guys who were going to carry this team moving forward until the Heat were able to make some sort of trade in the offseason or start acquiring talent. And along with Andrew Wiggins, those three were supposed to be good enough, at the very least, to fight for a sixth seed. I'm not asking for title run. I'm asking for fight for a sixth seed so that you have a puncher's chance in a playoff series against the New York Knicks. And your record is 4-15 since the Jimmy trade. And at the worst possible time of the season, when you have a stretch of 9-10 at home, you get run off the floor by the Clippers, who are on the second night of a back-to-back without their leading scorer, Norman Powell, and without Kawhi Leonard, run off the floor. Then a 15-point fourth quarter against the Boston Celtics. Then you get run off the floor against the Memphis Grizzlies, who are without Ja Morant, without Ja. And now the New York Knicks, without Jalen Brunson, embarrass you, run you off the floor, make you look like you're the Wizards. At a certain point here, this isn't, hey, the Heat need time to figure this out. Reality just stuck us in the face. It slapped us in the face. This team, this build, is not good enough.
No, you used the right word, Solana. This team is shorthanded. When everyone's healthy, bring back your boy Jovic, because you love him to death. This team is shorthanded. I like it. 4-15 since Jimmy. Bam is a very good player. I've been saying it, and you get mad at me. Bam's very good. Tyler's very good. They're not built like, they're not great players defensively. And it goes back to the Celtics game. They can pull you in the mud and play strong defense and all of that. There's going to get to a point in the game where you got to score some damn points. You're going to have to get to 30 in a quarter. And they can't do it. And that's the problem. And that's where they're at, Solana. We're not shorthanded on a game-to-game, let's-figure-out basis. We're shorthanded for the season. That's what this roster is.
Yeah, and it's frustrating as hell because even before Jimmy was traded, they won 10 games with Jimmy this year when he was available for the Heat. They won a lot more games without him this season than they did prior to him being traded. Like, where was that team that was fighting? Yesterday, two-point game, two-point lead for the Heat at halftime. They had a 12-0 lead, so you knew it was going to be close, right? Like, of course, the Heat go up double digits, bet the house on the other team. They have a two-point lead at halftime. Third quarter, 17-7 run by the Knicks. They have a 10-point lead halfway through the third. No big deal. Happens in the NBA. We were up 12. Mm-hmm. They came back. Happens in the league all the time. Bro, you've lost seven straight games. You're down 10 mid-third quarter. Buckle the hell up. Get back into the game. Give me a run to get back into the game. And guess what? They couldn't.
Who is going to give you that run?
Right. They couldn't. In a desperation game, all these games should be desperation games. You're getting embarrassed. To avoid eight straight losses and 10 games below 500 for the first time since your organization won 15 games, they needed a run down 10, and they couldn't get it. The Knicks got the run. And then 45 to whatever it was, Appel, 19, you get outscored.
41-15.
Right, in the third quarter. The final 4 minutes, the Heat were only down 7 with 4 minutes left in the third quarter, and the Knicks blew them out of the water those final 4 minutes. At this point, you know, it's pretty – I love Tyler. I genuinely do. I love Tyler Hero. I think he's an all-star level player. I love Bam Adebayo. I think he's an all-star level player. But this is their chance here to prove that they can be the pillars of the organization. This is their chance to prove that they could be the 1-2 of the organization. This is their opportunity to prove that they can be the guys relied upon moving forward to be the guys that lead your organization. And look at what the results are. Eight straight losses. three consecutive by double digits to teams without major parts of their roster? I mean, at a certain point, even me, the biggest Heat homer on WQAM, is going to come on here at some point and say, yeah, this ain't cutting it, bruh.
Just quickly, because I was on a flight last night, and I'm on the red eye, and I'm sitting here watching this damn game on Delta. You see, Denver didn't have Joker or Murray.
Yeah, or Christian Brown.
And Aaron Gordon goes for 40?
Yeah.
Did you see Michael Porter Jr.'s bringing the ball down, talking trash and getting in fight? Like, that's what they Russell Westbrook had a triple-double last night, because that's what, like, the acquisition of talent is what wins games. And they end up beating the Golden State Warriors with Jimmy, with Steph Curry was healthy, and they ended up doing that. Talent is going to take over sooner or later, and the Heat roster is not as talented. And Solana, I know you love these guys, and they're great people, and I'll go to their, you know, Boys and Girls Club toy drives. They're not – no one in the league looks at the Heat and say, oh, man, I don't want to go down there and play those guys in Miami. It's just not –
well, they used to,
we're not
right?
built like that right
they,
now.
They used to.
They used to say yeah, it, but yeah. right now they don't.
I think Tracy Morgan – kind of fully encapsulated the state of the Heat.
we got the Tracy Morgan update, thank God, because I wanted to bring this up on the show. Like, we got the update I needed to have some fun at his expense, because he updated everybody on his Instagram page. I sent it to you guys. This is what he posted. Tracy Morgan, if you missed it yesterday, there was a massive stoppage in the game midway through the third quarter, like a 10-minute stoppage, and there was somebody on the court who was throwing up on the court, and then they had to get wheeled off, and it was Tracy Morgan, of all people, Tracy Morgan, and he posted a picture of him in the hospital bed. He has his phone on his chest with a Knicks logo on it, of course. He's hooked up to, like, all the heart monitor stuff. Thank you all for your concern. I'm doing okay now, and doctors say it was food poisoning. Appreciate my MSG family for taking such good care of me. And I need to shout out the crew that had to clean up. Appreciate you. More importantly, the Knicks are now 1-0 when I throw up on the court, so maybe I'll have to break it out again during the playoffs. Hashtag go
Knicks.
A
lot of throw up.
No. He was projectile vomiting onto the floor. That's what the Heat did to Tracy Morgan. This guy was projectile vomiting everywhere.
That wasn't food poisoning.
Food poisoning. Okay. Okay.
That was drink poisoning, but no poison. Like, let's be honest. You had a good day, Tracy. Don't give me that.
I've been there before, right? Crowdy, wake up, you go to the beach, maybe, you know, cup too many Four Locos, and then you're like, oh, I can make it courtside of the game, no problem. And you get to the game, vodka soda here, champagne there, and all of a sudden Terry Rozier is dribbling 17 basketballs across the timeline.
Gets a little warm in the arena. Now the guys are running back and forth. You're turning right. your head.
Is anybody else really sweaty all of a sudden?
Josh, I don't believe this food poisoning thing. I don't know about this.
Did anybody else eat the chicken tenders in the in the Doers Club?
What are the worst? It had me thinking, like, what are the worst places to puke publicly? Because obviously, like, everybody has a story, whether they've done it or they know somebody where, you know, they got drunk, they puked on a significant other or whatever, you know. But I'm talking about public places. Yesterday, Tracy Morgan.
Wait a minute. Puked on their significant other? Everyone has that story?
Well, I mean, you know.
I've never thrown up on my wife.
I was thrown up on girls for years.
I'm not saying me. I'm just saying, I mean, you know, it's happened. I've heard. It's happened. No, I didn't throw up on anybody. I got thrown up on. And I don't want to talk about it. But bro, think about it big picture.
Yeah,
Tracy Morgan
big picture.
Is sitting down courtside at Madison Square Garden for a Heat Knicks game and he threw up on the court. Like that might be the worst. That literally might be the worst place. I don't know. What about at a wedding? You're sitting on the aisle at a wedding.
Yeah, that's bad. But although, like, I feel like if you're at a wedding and you're sitting on the aisle and you could feel the throw up coming, I feel like that's one where you get up, right? Right. If not, yeah. I mean, making the bride and groom walk back down the aisle through vomit is honestly friendship ending worthy. And if it's family, cutting out of the family worthy.
No, man, my stomach just hurt. No. I can get to the bathroom.
That's a good Tracy Morgan. That's a good Tracy Morgan.
My stomach was hurt, man. I think he was isolated. As you see where he was sitting, there was no bathroom close to Tracy.
Well, he's courtside. I mean, just run through the tunnel. Yeah, he's courtside.
But there's a lot of play. Did you see where he was sitting? He was right by the scorer's table. He
was right by Kenny Albert.
He couldn't go right. He had to go left. Now he had to go to the corner of the court because he had to walk past all the people and now get into the tunnel. And, like, I just, you know, a couple too many. A worse play. Airplane.
Airplane is a good one.
It disgusts me when you have the little bag on the airplane. I think the worst place to throw up is the airplane.
I've sat next to somebody before on a flight who has used the bag to throw up. Honestly, a lot more depth in that bag than you would imagine. I mean, there was a lot of throw up in it. It wasn't even halfway full. It's like a magic bag.
And a lot more throw up in my bag, too, because I'm throwing up if you're throwing up.
Yeah,
airplane's the worst place to throw up.
Ugh. Airport Pizza Hut personal pizzas at 7 in the morning before a flight to Colorado. Not the best idea in the world.
Yeah, that's definitely a questionable decision. I'm with you. Yeah. I've been on – it's why I won't fly Spirit anymore. I'm flying home from New Orleans. It's like an 11 o'clock at night flight, Spirit Airlines – flying back to Miami, and, you know, some people got off from Bourbon, went straight to the airport. They're hammered. Somebody drank too much, threw up, but the Spirit flight took off a little late, or it landed a little late, and then we had to quickly get on the airplane. They never, like, replenished the supplies for the flight attendants. So the flight attendant didn't have napkins, paper towels, and didn't have throw-up bags. So the person had to throw up on the ground, and there was nothing to clean up the throw up for the entire 2-hour ride, the entire 2-hour flight. It was the most disgusting thing that's ever happened to me in my entire life, other than getting thrown up on once. So,
well, multiple times.
I've never flown Spirit ever again. Crowder, I'm sure you've seen this at the club on the dance floor. That's pretty embarrassing.
Why didn't you assume that I've seen that at the club?
Duh.
On the dance floor?
Josh, I don't think you were in the club too much.
I've been to Dare before.
I've been to Dare before. I have seen the throw up on the ground. But in the club, it's funny because people want to keep partying because they're drunk. So now they throw up sneaky. And they act like it's not them. Mm-hmm. And man, let's let everybody know that you threw up, you nasty bastard.
Yeah, let's get you out of here. Okay, go home. Get yourself in an Uber. Pack it up. Go take 2 Advils. Drink a water and go to bed. All right, get out of here.
Mm-hmm. That night at Dare, I actually did end up throwing up. Although I made it to the bathroom instead of in the actual area we were at. So listen, some people can do it tactically. All right, and I'm one of them.
Told you, Solana. He's been to Dare.
Nobody that's ever wanted props for clubbing yells out, "I've been to Dare."
He's been to Dare, Solana.
Oh, my bad.
Leave Josh alone.
My bad.
I did the sign. It said I'm not so certain on it. It was great.
Did you really?
Yeah, it was a bachelor party.
Appel in all caps. They come out shaking in the air.
Let me find this picture.
Today is National Sloppy Joe Day. I want to get into that at some point. Oh. Chris Whittingham is going to join us. We're going to take a detour away from Tracy Morgan with quote-unquote food poisoning and the Heat causing said food poisoning. We'll talk a little bit Inter Miami, some soccer in general. Crowder, of course, will flex his Maradona knowledge on the other side. We have a $50 gift card to give away today to Twin Peaks. We'll give that away later on the show. There's some Marlins stuff I want to get to today. Look at that. Appel holding up the sign. They brought out the bottle girls with the sparklers and everything.
You've been to there. Not so certain. You ready to go take the glasses off too? Boy, Appel, I thought it was over.
That night.
I thought it was over you that night. Get the
Witty was there too, and Witty fell asleep on the couch at Dare.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Witty runs out of energy. Hey, I've partied with Witty before. He runs out of energy.
Yeah, listen.
His battery. His battery.
That's all that matters.
He's a AAA battery. He needs to get more energy. He needs more power.
Let's get the headlines. They're brought to you by Doral Volkswagen. At Doral Volkswagen, choose from over 300 new Volkswagen models in stock like the Tiguan, Taos, and Atlas. And remember, when it comes to Volkswagen, the great deals are at Doral Volkswagen. So the Heat are the 10th seed in the Eastern Conference right now. The 10th seed in the East. They're going to play the Pistons tomorrow. That game was picked up by ESPN. And the craziest thing, as the Heat keep losing here, they keep getting more and more national TV games. Tomorrow's game versus the Pistons wasn't. It was picked up by ESPN. And now, against the Rockets Friday night, NBA TV picked that game up. So I don't know what the hell is going on here with ESPN and the NBA. They're like, huh, Heat, you know, they can't seem to win a game. Let's put them on national TV. How about we do that?
I think ratings are good because the Heat are so historically good that now them getting their ass wore out is good for other teams and other markets. I honestly, Solana, I'm with you. We talked about it. I'm like, why the hell are they getting these games? The Heat getting their ass wore out, I think, is good for TV. It's the weirdest thing in the world.
People like to see Miami suffer.
Maybe.
No, but, for real.
But like the Heat with the Big Three era, for sure. Even the Heat with Jimmy Butler. You know, people don't like Jimmy Butler. You know, there was some, in my opinion, there was like some edge to that. Oh, we're going to beat the Heat. What, the Houston Rockets and the Detroit Pistons fan bases are throwing a parade, beating Tyler Hero, Bam Adebayo, and watching Terry Rozier play 4 minutes and go 0-3? What joy do you get out of that?
It's not Terry Rozier and Tyler Hero and Bam.
The culture.
No. It's that the Heat are getting whooped after two decades of dominating basketball or being always in the running, and people enjoy it.
All right.
It's like when the Patriots went downhill. When Brady retired, Belichick left, now the Patriots stink. I love watching the Patriots get destroyed last season because they're the Patriots. Yeah. I think it's the same thing.
All right.
It is pretty depressing how quickly Heat culture just evaporates. How just it's only a thing when it's convenient, and now it doesn't matter.
I don't know about that.
That's the thing that everybody holds up when they're shorthanded and when they're not maybe the most talented team. It's Heat culture that puts them over the top, and now they are largely comprised of generally the same amount of guys, same core pieces, and Heat culture means what?
But Appel, I think that's the most perplexing part about it. We can talk about it a little bit later. We're up against it.
Yeah.
But I think that's the most perplexing part about it, that you have guys who have been a part of that culture who have been able to, get the most out of them through Eric Spoelstra and the alleged culture. And right now, when you need them the most, and bro, the roster on paper is not that bad. I'm not saying they're a title contender, but worse than the Bulls?
No, I agree with you. And that's probably that's why it's the most frustrating.
They
shouldn't be.
9 straight games? Like, they're not this bad. That's the most frustrating part where you're sitting back and you're saying, what the hell's going on here? It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any
Crowder
sense.
Crowder said the other day that, you know, you put a guy on this roster and you've got a pretty damn good supporting cast around that guy.
Yeah.
It's just
Yeah.
Can you find one?
Right. Well, the reason mm-hmm. why I'm at the point where I'm at is, you know, I don't think you can, with keeping everybody intact, go out right. and find that guy. It just it doesn't make sense. So, you know, what are your options moving forward? Well, you know, time to make some tough decisions. Anyways, Cats are off until Thursday. They're in Columbus. And there's some other Marlins notes that I want to get to throughout the evening as well, or throughout the afternoon as well. NCAA tournament technically begins later today with the first four. And Appel, I wanted to get your take on this later. MLB baseball begins today as well, right? Or tomorrow?
Yeah, Major League Baseball begins today.
Okay.
That's MLB baseball. Baseball's in the name.
We playing baseball.
The Dodgers and the Cubs played game one of the regular season today.
You bet, in Japan.
Ugh, I hate that they do this. I don't understand it.
Why?
Because, Crowder, opening day isn't for 10 days in Major League Baseball, but today was opening mm-hmm. day. And tomorrow there will be another regular season game in Japan, and then the Dodgers and Cubs come back here for a week, play more spring training games to then start the regular season. It makes no sense.
Well, it was
so,
opening day for
them. You don't understand that money making and business and expansion of leagues, do you?
No.
You know they get salaries because of how much money they make.
Expansion of leagues. Well, we're gonna put a team in Japan all of a sudden. Like I
mean,
get
the Dodgers
it.
Are basically.
I bet they would if they could.
No, but I get it. Like they're trying to. They're so trying.
This is. It's a business.
Right.
Model.
They guess what? I just fixed the business. Next Wednesday, Thursday, Dodgers and Cubs, they play in Japan. Let them fly back. 2 days off, and then they play again on Monday. Boom. Just fixed the business.
Guess what? I fixed the business.
The business.
Your weather from the Demesman and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE. YourAccidentAttorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7. It is a gorgeous afternoon in South Florida. Tonight, the lows, they're going to drop into the mid to low 60s. I owe everybody in South Florida an apology. Yesterday, I didn't check the weather app. I just went with generic, partly cloudy. It'll be in the 70s tonight. Bro, I got out of here at the studio at 1:30 in the morning last night, and it was like 52 degrees. I was freezing
my
mother effing ass off last night. So I apologize to all of South Florida. I'm very sorry.
Your Lulu sweatshirt didn't keep you warm?
Well, I was wearing shorts. I was wearing shorts and no socks. So it was freezing, man. It was freezing last night.
No socks.
Yeah. You don't wear socks with your tennis shoes?
Sometimes I do. Sometimes I don't.
That's nasty.
Why?
It's really gross.
Why?
Because that's nasty. Because it stinks up your tennis shoe. I know you stink.
I don't.
So your tennis shoes stink.
Bro, you're the one with the ass foot.
You don't wear socks?
Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't.
That's nasty.
It's not. It's not. It's normal.
No, you're ruining your shoes because they're going to be musty and sweaty and yucky.
They're workout shoes. They're musty and sweaty and disgusting regardless. I wear them to
even
the
worse.
Gym. I wear them to the gym.
That makes your feet smell worse.
No, it doesn't. My feet smell great. Trust me. I mean, Crowder literally has ass on his feet. So my feet can't smell worse than that.
That's probably why you got thrown up on.
That's what? They smelled your feet. That lady smelled your feet.
Chris
That's
Whittingham.
Why she threw up. She was sober.
Chris Whittingham is going to join us. Friend of the show. We're going to talk a little inner Miami, Messi, and I don't know. Maybe we'll ask Whitty if he's ever been thrown up on as well. That's coming up on the Hawkman and Crowder Show. Hawk is off. He's in London. Appel, Crowder, Solana, and Jimmy take you up until 6 p.m.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Today unruly, tomorrow crack.
Hawk and Crowder.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 40% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
All right, welcome back to Hockman and Crowder. Solana here, Appel, Channing Crowder will take you up until 6 p.m. Of course, Hawk is off. He'll be back next Monday. But right now, Chris Whittingham is going to join the show. He's a friend of the show. He's a soccer broadcaster for CBS and MLS Season Pass on Apple TV. And Whitty's going to be broadcasting the U.S. men's national team semifinal game versus Panama. That's coming up Thursday in the CONCACAF Nations League semifinal. You can watch it on Paramount Plus. Inter Miami's next MLS game isn't until the end of the month. They're hosting the Union, but they're off until the 29th because of the international break. Whitty joins us on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Since we last spoke, Whitty, Messi scores at Cavalier. The Jamaican crowd goes absolutely crazy. And then late finish Sunday night, the local kid, Fafa Pico, victory over Atlanta United. In the grand scheme of things, Whitty, you know, a victory in mid-March doesn't mean much, but for Inter Miami, kicking Atlanta United's ass, kind of a big deal, like mentally, I think.
Yeah, classic revenge game, just because of how they went out of the MLS Cup playoffs last year with Atlanta being a team that really had no business being anywhere near Miami and all of a sudden beat them in a 3-game series, which just should never have happened. And so even though Atlanta completely reloaded in the offseason, they're a much different and a much better team now. Miami able to get the victory, and you saw Lionel Messi play 90 minutes, but then the talking point after the game is that he's not healthy again, and he's going to miss international duty with Argentina. But you're right. In the short term, not only was that victory in MLS big, they're now top of the Eastern Conference, but also I love the scenes in Jamaica when they were playing CONCACAF Champions Cup against Cavalier. 35,000 people. There's some great videos, if you want to find them on social media, of the crowd. Oh my God, he's going to play. He's playing. He's coming into the game, and then he scores the goal. And in theory, they're there to support the team from Jamaica, but they were all there to see Messi score, and he delivered for them. So some cool scenes, both in Jamaica and in Atlanta.
Winnie, where does Messi stand in all-time soccer? We were joking about it. I think we got away from it last week when you were on. Maradona and all these guys. Where does Messi really stand? Cristiano Ronaldo and all these guys. Even guys I know their name. Where does Messi stand in all-time soccer?
Well, depending on who you ask, number one. And I think it sort of depends on what era you come from. I do think that there is, in some ways, a poor job, I think, by the sport to preserve its history. There aren't really a lot of Pelé YouTube videos you can go and watch and say, oh my God. And we don't really have a way to compare the context of the level he was playing at the time versus what we see now. Same thing with Maradona, who obviously won the World Cup and had these unbelievable individual performances, but also maybe didn't have the longevity, didn't have the kind of career that he should have done for both on the field and off the field reasons. So I think it sort of depends on who you ask. If you ask an old head, kind of like how you'd ask someone who was around for Jordan's Bulls, you'd go, there's no one better than Jordan. There was no one better than Pele. There was no one better than Maradona. But I think the people that have been around and watched football for the last 30 years would say that Lionel Messi is the greatest player of all time, and they'd have a rightful argument to that. He's obviously has now won the World Cup. He's won the Champions League a number of times, won a bazillion trophies, more than 40 over the course of his careers. And just by watching him from the eye test, you just go, there's no one who can do what he does.
Witty, in a lot of weird ways, it's similar to the Jordan LeBron debate. And I'm not trying to do MJ LeBron with you right now, but like, I talked to my dad who grew up in Uruguay. Like, Maradona is God. There's nobody who will ever eclipse Maradona because of the legacy that he had and because of the way that he did it, the swag, the way he kind of built or took South America over to Europe and just like capitalized on everything. But Messi, longevity, the different places he's won. Like, in a lot of ways, it's similar to MJ LeBron, and young fans are going to say Messi, and older people like my dad are going to say Maradona.
And the funny thing is I also think that Ronaldo is kind of a comp for Kobe, because there is just like this cult of people that just like a certain kind of athlete, which is very self-assured. I do everything on my own, Mamba mentality, CR7 mentality. There is kind of this very similar comp as well, where I really don't think that Ronaldo has his place at this table. I think Messi, Maradona, and Pele are a little bit of a level of above, but Ronaldo's going to maybe at some point, if he keeps going, maybe hit 1,000 career goals. He's going to have accrued a number of statistics. Obviously, he's won the Champions League a number of times. I don't think he's quite there, but I also think that there are just a group of people, the Portugal fans, Real Madrid fans, people that just like a certain kind of strutting, arrogant, cocky, self-assured kind of guy that I think people are very attracted to him in the way that they are attracted to Kobe. I think there's a real overlap in those Venn diagrams.
I know that Ronaldo did not have anything to do with the actual making of it, but you cannot have a statue of yourself that looks that way and be considered the best to ever do it. But on Ronaldo, do you ever see him potentially coming stateside to finish out his career? Or is he just going to finish off where he is, where nobody's paying attention?
Well, that's kind of a funny way to put it, because they actually just played a game at the weekend. His club played a game at the weekend where they had 12,000 people in attendance, and there were thousands of empty seats. And he is playing in Saudi Arabia, earning hundreds of millions of dollars. But that league that has invested over $1 billion, and I mean, probably just Ronaldo himself, but never mind all the other players they brought in, they're kind of meant to have been these upsetters of the apple cart, these disruptors in the world of football. They spent millions and billions to bring players in, and they are a tree that's falling in the forest and not making a sound. In terms of whether or not he would ever come here, he actually came close to coming here, incredibly enough, to play for Kansas City before he ended up going to Saudi Arabia. But there are theories that I don't really want to get into as to why he hasn't. I think that in the overall, he at this point has kind of set his stall out in the great outside of Europe, who's dominating the world of football. He has set his stall as the Saudi guy as opposed to the MLS guy. And I think now, because Messi and Ronaldo have kind of always done everything in competition their entire careers, now, which is the better league? Is it the Saudi league? That's Ronaldo's league. Or is it MLS? That's Messi's league. And I think that it is sort of the next frontier in the Messi v. Ronaldo debate.
Speaking of MLS, Messi, his muscle injury is going to keep him out of Argentina's qualifiers this upcoming week. Important qualifiers for them. They're in first place, but Uruguay-Argentina, that's like the best match week for them. Anytime there's an injury on the turf, we were talking about it yesterday, Crowder, Appel, and I, that's where the conversation turns. I know there's always a dispute about whether or not Messi should be playing on turf, whether he wants to play on turf. Well, he did against Atlanta United. What's your take, Witty, on turf fields and artificial grass? in Major League Soccer, because I know for the World Cup in 2026, that'll all be replaced at the stadiums, MetLife and Mercedes-Benz Stadium, but MLS allows it.
Yeah, and it's only in a few places. It's really only the indoor stadiums and the stadiums in the Pacific Northwest and I guess now New England and Charlotte. So I think it's only five or six teams that still play on turf out of the 30. So it's generally a good record, but I mean, you look at the president of business operations, Xavi Asensi, put out something on Instagram that basically said, you know, that this turf is exploding brain emoji. It was really bad. Like, there's good turf and there's bad turf. Honestly, for me, and watching the game, it kind of looked like it was being played on carpet. It looked like it was like sort of a level of turf that was bad. And I understand why a lot of people argue against it. Obviously, people will make their judgments based off the fact that he got injured. I personally don't think that it really has anything to do with the fact that he got injured. He played 90 minutes and he looked to be okay. It just seemed like something that has kind of been nagging him for a long time. He just kind of has to get over. And I do think that a trip across the world and two incredibly difficult international games against Uruguay and Brazil might be a little bit beyond him at this point. So I think in the overall, it's difficult to have natural grass in an indoor facility, but I mean, even the NFL players been asking for this. I think Cooper Kupp is one of the NFL players that's been most on the more NFL teams are moving towards artificial rather than natural grass. And the sport, either sport, whether it's American football or football, are not better with the artificial surfaces.
I hate that you call it football and American football, because I play football with it, but it doesn't, like, the size. I played in Wembley when the first international game we played over there, and like we went out and we could tell the grass is different. Like, it's lighter, it's more slippery, because even the celebrations when they run and them little itty bitty jokers that are the size of Gatorade bottles slide 116 yards when they score a goal. Like, is it a bigger deal in football than American football? Because I saw a difference when I did play in a soccer stadium.
Yeah. Well, I think in some ways it's the surface is part of the game, whereas it isn't really in American football. You can kind of play on mud. You can play on sand. You can play. It's not. It really is only for the health of the players and what they're planting on. But the surface itself is a part of the game. And actually, it's interesting to note that the game has completely changed because the pitch has gotten better over the years. It used to be in England, it rained so much that they had a very hard time maintaining a surface over the course of a season. It would become mud by the end of the season, and you couldn't really play on the ground. And so, yeah, it does kind of have to be slick and slippery so that the ball can move. And there has to be actual grass undergirding, because if it falls apart, then the game can be completely disrupted by the playing surface. So, yeah, it is an entirely different thing. That's why you mentioned those international games at Tottenham and even at Real Madrid, where I believe the Dolphins are playing in Spain next year, right? I believe so. They're gonna play. They're gonna play at the Bernabeu. And basically, what they did was they have like a 5-story pitch, and they have an artificial one which they bring up for the NFL and for concerts, and then they move the grass one down, almost like down a grass elevator, and it goes down, and that's how they do it. So that is what they will use for the Dolphins game, is because they want to have an artificial stuff so that they don't ruin the natural one, because it has to be completely different than an artificial surface.
Nothing better, Witty, than when you used to go to football games, American football games, and you'd give us like a little pitch evaluation prior to every single game. Nothing.
I would always ask, whenever Crowder and I were doing Dolphins pregame, I'd always say, hey, how's the surface looking like? Because it used to make me sad when the Dolphins would have, and they still do sometimes. To call it the Dolphins a little bit. Sometimes the pitch does not look good. They only seem to really only bring up the good stuff around Orange Bowl time, which makes me a little sad. I want to see the Dolphins 12 months a year have a good playing surface.
But Witty, to be fair, Stephen Ross has allocated a ton of resources to the playing surface. Like, it's not for lack of trying, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because remember the Super Bowl 2 years ago, they hired like some special grass guy and they were growing it out in the fields of Arizona, and the playing surface was absolutely awful. F pitch for a Super Bowl, which is maddening. Like, Stephen Ross genuinely has allocated the right amount of resources. Yeah. There's just a lot of action going on. The Canes play and then the Dolphins play back to back sometimes in multiple weeks. Like, that's going to devalue any pitch, Witty, as you know, a pitch connoisseur yourself would agree.
Witty, totally. I'm curious, because you carry yourself and model yourself to be an honorary Brit. You wish you were from the UK. I think it's safe to say. And I feel like with Hawk's trip to London, you're both excited that he's going and experiencing all that. But at the same time, with every single video he sends with what I think has actually become a pretty good British accent, I imagine it drives you insane.
Appalling. It is appallingly bad. It is a horrific British accent that he is doing. And somehow it gets worse. Yesterday he sent us a video and I was like, you sound like Rodney Dangerfield. You're getting nowhere closer to the actual British accent. At least like listen and try and take in. I will say though, there is no part of me that's jealous. There's no part of me that's angry at him. I think he is finding as compelling what I find as compelling when I watch the Premier League or I go to London and it's like, this is so great. I want to model myself. There's so many words that they use that we don't use. And the accent just sounds so exotic. And you're just like, can I be a part of this? And so, yes, I have definitely taken on parts of it. I use the word sometimes. I'll do my fake British accent when I watch sport, but it's because it's so compelling. And I completely understand why Hawk has fallen head over heels for British culture.
When you watch sport?
Yeah. Sport. That's what they call it over there. I'm sure Hawk is going to come back and saying we're hosting we're at a sport radio station. That's how they say it in the UK.
When Hawk gets kidnapped or beat up or you know somebody over there doesn't like, are you going over there with us to get him? Because we're already ready to go over there and get him because somebody's going to beat him up or kidnap him.
Yeah, I imagine they don't find the accent as humorous as he does. They definitely would definitely. Find it much more patronizing than anything.
What could possibly?
No one says governor, by the way. No one says governor. No one in the UK has ever uttered the word governor in their entire life.
What could possibly be upsetting about this?
Oh, I'm thinking about double decker bus. Oh, I'm thinking about stopping in and get a little nip before high tea. No, I just want a little nip. Get a little nip before pint.
Hey, I gotta tell you, I don't get any respect around here. That's what he sounds like.
Chris Whittingham.
No respect.
Chris Whittingham will be broadcasting the U.S. men's national team semifinal game in the CONCACAF Champions Cup. Panama, U.S. men's national team, Paramount Plus on Thursday. Witty, thank you very much. Oh, CONCACAF Nations League, by the way, the semifinal, not the Champions Cup. Witty, thank you very much. We appreciate you. By the way, I drove by the airport Sunday, stadium, Miami Freedom Park, Inter Miami's new stadium in Miami. There's a shell of the stadium. Like, you could see it. It is off the ground. So that's exciting.
Mm. Yeah, definitely check out the videos on YouTube and on Twitter. It's. I mean, you can see that it will be ready for next season without question.
Yep, it's looking good. Witty, thank you very much. Have a good broadcast on Thursday. I genuinely enjoy these soccer chats, and I'm sorry that Crowder's first question was Messi or Ronaldo, but we'll work on it, okay? We'll work on it for next week.
No, but that's like, you know, that's the good sports radio stuff. That's what we're here for, is to do some classic debates. I like it.
I didn't know how good he was. Everybody right. kisses
He's brilliant. Well, hey, go on YouTube and search Lionel Messi highlights and be mesmerized for 10 minutes.
It's Maradona guy. Y'all say his name and nah. I don't know how y'all say his
Maradona.
Name. But I'm learning. Yeah, I'm learning about him too.
Chris Whittingham, thank you very much. We'll talk next week.
No problem at all.
All right, there we go. We'll quit while we're ahead. I'll teach Crowder some stuff during the commercial break. More Hawk and Crowder coming up. Appel, Crowder, Solana, and Jimmy take you up until 6 p.m.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Hello.
Pip, pip, cheerio.
Pip, pip. Pip, pip, cheerio. Hello.
Hawk and Crowder.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a
DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.